Thank you. potentiality. Upstairs in Francisco versus the marvelous packet of banana and gold. Just because he is in chief justice does not imply that he gets to have less in law than anybody else. The law is significant of any individual's right, irrespective of his status in life. Even if we assume that the chief justice should have disclosed his foreign currency deposit in his pipeline, it is admitted that this non-disclosure in the pipeline will not amount to an impeachable offense. Section 2, Article 11 of the Constitution provides that the President, the Vice President, the members of the Supreme Court, the members of the Constitutional Commission, and the Ombudsman may be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of culpable violation of the Constitution, treason, bribery, rampant and corruption, other defrauds, or betrayal of public trust. This enumeration indicates that impeachment and conviction of these high government officials should be based on nothing less than high crimes. Treason is abominable because it is an act of disloyalty to our country. It carries a penalty of 12 years and one day to death. Bribery is penalized by 6 years and one day to 12 years. Graft and corruption also carries a penalty of not more than 10 years. Betrayal of public trust, which is unique to the Philippines, must also be based on a serious crime with a high penalty. For certainty, the high government official should not be impeached and removed from office for a minor breach of the law. In this case, Chief Justice Corona is not charged with treason, bribery, graft and corruption, or even ill-gotten wealth. Article 2 of the Articles of Impeachment accuses the Chief Justice of not disclosing his IM to the public. The Chief Justice is, however, exempted from any liability for the disclosure of his IM. He is bound to the resolution of the Supreme Court and FAC regulating the release to the public. It is also said that the Chief Justice did not disclose all his assets in the IM. We have painstakingly shown, however, that the real properties allegedly belonging to the Chief Justice are not actually his, and therefore need not be disclosed in his IM. The remaining issue is whether the non-disclosure of the final peso and dollar deposits amounts to a culpable violation of the Constitution and or a betrayal of the public trust. The defense has shown that the peso holdings or deposits of the Chief Justice were disclosed in his IM. The other peso accounts do not belong to him, but are either owned by his children or held in trust for passive resorting enterprises or as part of the common fund from his mother. The Chief Justice relies on the basic principle that what he does not own, he should not declare as his asset. It is therefore submitted that he cannot be held liable for culpable violation of the Constitution. His dollar accounts were not included for reasons earlier stated. According to Committee Report No. 1214, in the impeachment of President Enrique Perino, a violation of the Constitution committed unintentionally or involuntarily or in good faith or through honest state of justice is not Similarly, the Chief Justice could have been held liable for betrayal of public trust. Father Martin Brenner explained that betrayal of public trust implies deliberate intent and perhaps a certain degree of perversity. For it is not easy to imagine that individuals of the category of this impeachable official would go so far as to defy knowingly what the Constitution commands. It must be of the same gravity as the other offenses in the plan. In other words, not every violation of public trust is an impeachable offense. It is therefore respectfully submitted that the failure to disclose in the salary its dollar account will not amount to an impeachable breach of trust. Indeed, the penalty of violation of the salary is only a fine not exceeding 5,000 pesos or imprisonment not exceeding 5 years or more, which cannot compare with the severe penalties for treason, bribery, and graft and corruption. More importantly, even before we can get to the matter of penalty for non-disclosure or non-inclusion, RA 6713 itself provides a corrective measure under Section 10 thereof. Per force of logic, there is no violation of law where the law itself provides a corrective measure. All that needs to be done is to call the attention of the public officer. This is the remedy of first resort, not to punish him, much less to remove him from office. I further wish to point out that pursuant to the separation of powers, our Constitution rests the important role of impeachment in Congress, hoping that it will act independently in during the impeachment of the officials of the other branch. Regrettably, we have witnessed the unusual rubber stamping by the majority of the House of Representatives, who never even read the Articles of Impeachment. The brief endorsement of the Articles of Impeachment to the Senate was principally undertaken by the Parliament of the President. The President then repeatedly declared that he wanted the Chief Justice to move. In support, the executive branch then lent its full and wholesome power to interfere in the impeachment proceedings, to oust the Chief Justice, and to intimidate the Supreme Court. For example, the Secretary of Justice threatened other Supreme Court justices to impeach. The Land Distribution Authority then falsely listed 45 alleged properties of the Chief Justice. The Bureau of Internal Revenue divulged confidential income tax returns and commenced investigation of the Chief Justice and his entire family. The unlock looked into the bank accounts of the Chief Justice without a predicate right or court order. The Ombudsman exaggerated and testified that the Chief Justice has 82 bank accounts and $10 to $12 million in deposits. The Commission on Audit disauthorized the purchase of the Pastor's office property after 11 long years. The cadence of their actions implies a compassion. Such a new interference of the Executive Department in order to undermine the Judicial Department is clearly intended to weaken and then control the latter department. To do away with effective checks and balances under a bipartite government system. Under the effects of the Chief Justice and the Supreme Court as impediments to reforms sought by him, the President aims to remove the Chief Justice and make the Supreme Court subservient to his dream. It is our further hope that the enemy will not lend its assistance to this plan. Let not this institution allow the religion to fall from the judicial independence. During the time of U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a similar situation arose. After being repeatedly rebuked by the Supreme Court, the team, President Roosevelt, wanted to undermine and control the judiciary by seeking to create additional positions in the U.S. Supreme Court so that it could appoint a majority of the members. In refusing to pass the amendment, the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee wrote in its report, and I quote, "Let us, of the 75th Congress, in words that will never be disregarded by any succeeding Congress, declare that we would rather have an independent court, a fearless court, a court that would dare to announce its honest opinion in what it believes to be the defense of the liberty of the people, and a court that out of fear or sense of obligation to the appointing power or factional party approve any measure we may enact. We are not the judges of the judges." Finally, the case of the Chief Justice is not complete without reference to the fundamental right to the presumption of innocence. We have seen the absolute lack of any damning evidence presented against the Chief Justice. Even when it was alleged to the prosecution that his acts are punishable violations, the defense has said that the Chief Justice relies on sound legal basis for his position, and in all instances guided by good faith and without malice. But beyond what the prosecution failed to prove, what strengthens the presumption of innocence is the credibility of the Chief Justice in giving justice, in proving himself forthright, courageous, and true. His innocence is backed by the common sense proof behind his testimony, affirming the experience of many Filipinos in their own family. His courage is shown by his dauntless determination to fight the conviction and the foreign successful propaganda along with it. Most of all, he has responded to the call of the Filipino people by defying all expectations and raising the bar for all public opinion. Despite his reliance on the confidentiality of Article 6426, the Chief Justice has, upon the request of the Senate, waived the confidentiality of his bank account, thereby setting the standard of transparency in public service. Indeed, the innocence of the Chief Justice arises not only from the abject lack of evidence against him, but from his conduct, wholly consistent with the clear conscience. Truly, Your Honor, your old appointed judge and man, who has proven why he is the Chief Justice. After I speak, the prosecution will raise your ear with the last line, or even the last paragraph, but the forces shall be in vain. For borrowing the words of the Council of President Lincoln, there will not be the last word, because the voice I will leave with you is the voice of reason, the voice of the law, and the voice of truth, the voice that will ring forever in your conscience. Your Honor, the other defense counselors and I respectfully request that you render a verdict of acquittal.